Well, good morning. Well, there's three of you here. That's good. We'll start there, I guess. It's good to be with you this morning, and it's nice to see friends again. And I was thinking, you know, when Jim and I were chatting this morning, Jim called me just probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago and said, hey, or he had emailed me and said, Tim, are you available to speak? And I'm not kidding that about an hour and a half after Jim and I spoke, my home church in Leduc, where I live, where I pastored for 29 years, I got a phone call. They said, Tim, would you come and preach on the 22nd of December? And so as the Bible says, you snooze, you lose, right? And it doesn't say that at all. So in case you're already ready to walk out, it doesn't say that. But it's good to be with you this morning, and I am thrilled to have the opportunity to be among clapping Baptists and to bring the Word of God to you this morning. I did notice while we were clapping that there was a few of you, you know, like you were moving, you were dancing Baptist. I won't point you out. You know what? I think in the kingdom of God there is room for clapping Baptists and dancing Baptists and as stoic Baptists and everything in the middle. I love preaching at Christmas. It's one of the things I miss as a regional minister where I do a lot of traveling and being with different congregations on Sunday. But I miss the Advent season and progressing through it and having the chance to reflect on Christmas and to walk through the season of preparing our hearts for the coming of the Savior. And here we are, just a couple of days away from Christmas, and I don't know what that looks like for you, but it's a bit of a frantic season, isn't it? We're trying to finish up things at work. For some of you, you're trying to get things together for family. I've spoke with a few of you this morning who have family who are en route here to spend Christmas with you. And I know that this time of year can come with stress and challenge as well. And so while I'm going to preach on celebrating, I want to acknowledge that when I say that, this isn't going to be a Christian pep talk. This isn't going to be all rah-rah. But in fact, what I believe is that we have good reason to celebrate. And I also want to acknowledge that for some of you coming into this Christmas season, you're coming with heavy hearts. Maybe for some of you, this has been a season of transition or hardship or unknown. For some of you, perhaps this has been a season of illness or maybe this is the first Christmas that you are going to spend without someone who's been significant in your life. And so I just want to acknowledge that. That has been my experience at times as well. I've known a Christmas without one of my parents. I've spent a Christmas in the ICU unit with a child. So I want to acknowledge that as we talk about celebration, that real life doesn't stop while we celebrate. So let me just pray, and then we're going to jump in together. Holy God, as we look at your word this morning, I believe with all of my heart that your word speaks truth and life to us, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you take the words in this book and you bring them to life, not only to teach us truth, but to change us from the inside out. And so my prayer, Lord Jesus, this week, for the last few weeks and today again, is that today we would be changed, that today we would be confronted with your truth in a way that brings new understanding and light to our lives. And so I thank you for this church. I thank you for the many good people who are here. I thank you, Lord God, for every person in this room because I believe you have brought them here today for a purpose. And so may we have hearts that are quiet enough, humble enough, to receive what you have for us this day. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is something that God does in his word with the idea of celebration. I believe when I look at the Bible that it is filled with opportunities for us to celebrate. It's interesting that God not only told people in his word that they regularly needed to take time to rest, which we know. But in the Old Testament, God, in fact, gave his people, throughout the Jewish people, he gave them 7 festivals that they were supposed to celebrate each and every year. And those seven festivals weren't one-offs. Some of those celebrations were a week or longer. In fact, one of those seven celebrations, the Feast of Booths, you got to go camping for a week and celebrate, right? Like, how great is God? You get to go camping and you get to take time off of all your normal stuff because he wants you to celebrate him. And when we look throughout the pages of Scripture, we see again and again these wonderful opportunities to celebrate. If we look at the Psalms, did you know that in the Psalms, there's 211 times where we have these references to praise? There is only one psalm out of all 150 which doesn't end with a declaration of praise. The very act of worship, as we've done here this morning already, is a part of celebrating the goodness and faithfulness of God. And so I want to give you this morning my hypothesis regarding celebration, and it's what I want to share with you this morning. I believe not only that God intended for his people to celebrate, but that if the message of God is true, if the message of the Bible is correct, and I'm going to work on this clicker because what you need to know is I'm a man, and we don't do more than one thing at a time. So usually I let the person at the back do slides, and so I'm like, just keep flicking them. So I'm going to work at this. But here's the thing. All right. Let's see if we... There we go. That if the scriptures are true, then this is what I believe. That Christians should celebrate like no one else on earth celebrates. Now I want to explain to you why I think this is true. We live in a world that likes to celebrate. But we live in a world that does not celebrate in the same way as Christians do. The secular world celebrates to forget. I want you to think about that for just a moment. We've all heard sayings like living for the weekend or working for vacation. And the idea behind these ideas of celebrating is that for those who have no real hope, no understanding of faith in Christ, the intent of time off, the intent of time away from your regular schedule, your responsibilities, your work, your struggles, is for the purpose of losing yourself and forgetting what real life is actually giving to you each and every day. The idea of having fun is about escaping. It's one of the reasons why in our culture, overconsumption of alcohol is almost seen as the norm. Why do people do it? Why would you want to do that except that what you want to do is to forget what's really going on in your life? The epidemic of drug use is about forgetting that we're lonely, that life is meaningless, that there is hardship and pain. In essence, the world parties or celebrates to forget. And if we think about the truths of Scripture and we think about how sin works and how evil works, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because evil and sin lurk where? They live in the darkness. I've never had someone come up to me and celebrate their sin. What we do is when we talk about sin is we talk about it like this. We talk about it like this. Why? Because it lives in the dark. And so the world celebrates to forget what's going on. When we do not have lives lived with purpose, when we do not understand the value or the meaning of life, it's not hard to imagine why we would just want to forget it, to get it over with. Did you know that the statistics continue to grow higher and higher in the world we live today, that when someone dies, we don't do funerals anymore? We don't even do celebrations of life. We do nothing. They say now that 1/3 of all people who die, there's no remembrance at all. Why? Because if there's no hope, there's no point. If there's no hope, then what we want to do is to forget. We want to pretend that it didn't happen. But for those who follow Jesus, the reason we celebrate is something completely different. Celebration for the Christian is all about remembering. The job of your family and mine in this Christmas season as those who know Jesus is to remember the truth of who Christ is and what he has done for us. We get to celebrate with our eyes wide open, not tightly closed. And the scriptures speak to us about this over and over again. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 15, it says this. It says, remember his covenant forever, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. God has been faithful and remains faithful today and every day. We're invited by Jesus again and again to remember, aren't we? Every month in our churches, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. What's the purpose? It's to remember that Christ came, to remember that Christ gave his life, to remember that Christ rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. Do this, Jesus says, in remembrance of me. In the book of John, we are told that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is remembering. John 14, 26 says this, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative," that is, the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." The Holy Spirit wants to remind you of the real truth so that as you're walking through this life and facing the challenges that we all face, that we know what's really taking place. Repeatedly in the scriptures, you and I are invited to give testimony. When you do baptisms in your church or have someone share their testimony, aren't those some of the most powerful moments that we have together as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? Why? Because we're being reminded of how Jesus changes people. We're being reminded of the truth of Scripture. One of my favorite passages in the psalm comes from Psalm 71. I'm going to share it with you. And this is the psalm that I want to be my life psalm as I get older. Now, I'm not that old yet, but I'm going to be a senior soon enough, and I want these to be my words. "Oh God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." You want a purpose as you get older in your life? Make that your purpose. Make that your purpose. I see that screen. You see this one. Make that your purpose. That what you would do is you would proclaim the goodness and faithfulness of God to your children and to your grandchildren and to those who would come after you. What God knew is that you and I have this thing about us, and it's that we're forgetful. We take our eyes off Jesus, and we allow ourselves to get overwhelmed with the world, don't we? Can you think of times where you've let things sort of overwhelm you? I had a time recently, and we have a 20-year-old son who is well and healthy now, but went through a really difficult season. He was diagnosed with cancer when he was just 8 weeks old, and so we walked a crazy journey with him for a few years. And so there have been points and times along the way where we've revisited that. And just recently, we had a moment in his life, not related to cancer, but where he experienced great disappointment. And as his dad, I took that on in a way I shouldn't have. And I sort of began to spiral. And what I did is I had a moment where I looked and I went, you know what? Maybe God isn't good. Maybe God isn't faithful. Why is God being so hard on him in this moment? And I let my thinking turn dark and I began to just spiral down. And in the end, I'm grateful for my wife who really gently said, "Tim, don't forget the truth. You and I are forgetful. We forget what's true." Like Peter, when he went walking on the water to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, can I come to you?" And he said, "Yes." And he walked on the water until what? Until he started looking around. And as soon as he started looking around, what happened? He began to sink. But we don't just forget because we have hard experiences. In a world where you and I are so fortunate, we are so well off relative to most people in the world, you and I have this penchant to forget who got us here, who supplied all our needs, who gave us wisdom. Like the hymn writer, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." You and I wander because we have so much. You and I can begin to believe that our good fortune, our wonderful lives here in Canada, are the result of our own work, our own effort, our own wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 8 reminds us, and I'm going to put a selection of this up. Okay, there we go. I'm going to read the whole passage for you, though. Deuteronomy chapter 8. at verse 8. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and you've built good houses and you live in them, and when your flocks and herds have become large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions where it was hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. You and I are called to remember because we forget, because we start to believe again that this life is of our own creation. Now, let's talk about a few more reasons that we celebrate. You and I are to celebrate because we are to recall the faithfulness of God. We celebrate because we know that while in this world we will have trouble, Christ has overcome the world. We know that God is with us. We know that God will provide for us. Paul says to us in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, he says, I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You and I celebrate because God meets us in our pain and suffering. God comes alongside us when we are facing hardship, when we are weak, and when we are struggling with grief. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to an eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Christians celebrate because God is at work in our struggles and challenges. James chapter 1 tells us, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness having all full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As Christians, we celebrate because we know how the story ends. We celebrate as an act of faith. We trust that what we can see with our eyes is not an accurate picture of what's going on in the eternal world, in the bigger sphere. We know that Christ continues to move the world forward until the place where he will come again. We know that when the book is finished, God wins. Do you know that? Do you believe it to be true? That when the story is done, God wins. He rules the world with truth and grace. When you sing those words, do you believe them to be true? One of my favorite Christmas carols this year, and I love Christmas carols, and I don't know why this one for me this year has stood out, but if you go home, listen to it. I heard The Bells on Christmas Day. Never a song that I really ever thought too much about, but this year it's struck me. And the last verse, it says, he is not dead, nor does he sleep. God continues to work out his good purpose in the world. Colossians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, I didn't put it up here because it's a lot to read, but let's not forget what Revelation 21 says to us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying, nor pain anymore, for these former things have all passed away." Christians also need to celebrate because we celebrate in defiance of evil. We confront the devil when we celebrate in Jesus' name, and we tell him the truth. The one, 1 John 3:8 says this, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." When you and I celebrate, we put on the full armor of God. When we celebrate with our eyes wide open, we proclaim and we stand in defiance of evil and tell the world that Christ has overcome. Celebration is an act of faith. So where does Christmas fit into all of this for us? We're only a couple of days away and, well, the race is on, frankly. For many of you, there will be last-minute trips to the grocery store because we're all trying to get enough whipped cream, right? There's some presents to wrap. A few of you, I'm not going to ask for hands, haven't thought about gifts yet for the people in your life, and it will be a scramble. There are those of you who are expecting guests, and so it's time to change the sheets and put new towels in the washroom and make sure things are sorted out. Yesterday at our house, I washed the dog, if you can believe that. Right? Yeah, I know, you can come over. The dog's clean. I don't know about anything else. But the question is, in the midst of all of our preparation, could we do all of this and really forget what Christmas is really about? Will we remember? Will we remember and celebrate the coming, the gift of God sending his Son into the world to find us? It is true that you and I can get caught up in things that don't matter, and Christmas is certainly too commercial. So what does it mean for us to celebrate the coming of Jesus as a Christ follower? We need to celebrate with intention and with our eyes wide open. Here's a few things we need to remember. We need to remember that God sent his Son to earth to do what no one else could do for us. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 says. To be lost is not to know where we are or how to find our way home. Jesus came to show us the way home. Back to God. It was Jesus who declared himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The only way that you and I can become unlost is to find the map to our true destination. And Jesus said, "I am the map of your life." No amount of searching, no amount of giving our best can ever lead us back to God. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person who has ever walked the face of this earth, me included, was born in sin. Sin has impacted us, and without intervention of God, we are stuck. We are dead in our sin. Have you ever noticed that we never had to teach children how to sin? You don't have to share so much, honey. Just keep more for yourself. From the time we're this big, sin is at work in us until the moment at which Christ indwells our heart and sin and death are broken and we are free to choose a better way. God sent his Son to show us who he is. I'm just going to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything, in heaven and on earth, by means of Christ's blood shed on the cross. You and I need to remember that God sent his Son as well to teach us what real love is. As the young lady read earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, they will not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Rick Warren once said at a convocation address that too often Christians think their problem is that they don't love God enough. He said, when we believe this, we get it the wrong way, instead insisting that our problem is that you and I don't understand how much God loves us. That God loves us whether we are paying attention to him or not. That God loves us whether we're moving towards him or we're running away from him. That God loved us so much that he could not live without us. And so he sent Jesus to be a sacrifice for our sins. At Christmas, almost like Remembrance Day, we remember the cost and we celebrate the victory. So let me wrap up here. Will you really celebrate this Christmas in your home? How will you celebrate these next few days? This isn't just a few days off. It's not just time to turn off your brains, to close your eyes, except maybe for a nap on Christmas Day afternoon. This is not a time to forget, but a time to remember, a time to open our eyes again to the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, a time to remember, to celebrate how much Jesus has changed about our everyday lives. Christmas, of course, is just the beginning. The manger eventually leads to the cross and to the resurrection, but Christmas invites us to celebrate something significant. Christmas is a first step. Christmas was the first step that God took to making all things in the world right. And I want to talk to you and I want to challenge you at the end of this message with what the next step for you is going to be. This next year, I'll be married 25 years to a really beautiful woman. Tell her, if you meet her, tell her I said that. But here's the thing. I remember the night that I asked her out and I didn't even know her. I'd literally been introduced to her once. All I was going off of was she was in church, she appeared to be a Christian, and she was a knockout. But here's the thing. If I had not taken that first step, I'd be telling you a really different story here today. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you've never really understood how much God loves you. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while, or maybe this is the first time you've graced the doors of a church for a long time, and you don't even know why you came today, except you felt like you should. Do you know that God wants to have a relationship with you? That Jesus wants you to experience new life every day forward from today in a way you've never experienced before? That Jesus wants to give you a life with purpose and meaning? Do you know that you can, by simply asking Christ into your life here this morning, confessing your need for his forgiveness and new life, discover a whole new world with someone who will guide you and lead you and show you how to find true life? Maybe you're here today, and maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe, in fact, you say, oh, I've been in this church for years, Tim. But what you know, if you're honest, is that you've kind of been coasting along the way. Maybe you've come to church because, you know what, your spouse really wants to come to church, or your kids love coming here. But what you know, if you're honest, is that you've never really given your life to Jesus. Or you made a commitment long ago, but there's not a lot of evidence that anything real is happening in your relationship with Jesus today. And if that's you here today, my challenge to you is to take a step and to decide today that you're going to make Jesus first in your life. You're going to put him at the center. And you're going to believe the words that you sing and the things that you nod in agreement when the pastor stands up on the stage. Maybe today's the day you make Jesus more than your acquaintance and let him change your life. Maybe you're here today and you know Jesus and you've had a relationship with him, but you've got your eyes focused somewhere else. You've had things go on in your world that have made your faith go stale or quiet. Maybe like Peter, you were overwhelmed by the waves in your life, and so you feel like you're drowning. That can change today. You can give to God your anxiety, your grief, your loneliness, your anger, your hurt, your confusion, and acknowledge again that you want to live by faith. Like the psalmist, you want to proclaim, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God wants to walk with you today in the midst of your hardship and challenges. He wants to give you strength and wisdom and the capacity to walk faithfully no matter what life is bringing your way. Is there a step you need to take today that it will allow you this year to really celebrate Christmas? You know what? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because faith is trusting something we don't see. Trusting that something that just is not possible for us, that God has still got it, that God is in charge. How will you celebrate this week in your home? I don't know what that's going to look like, but I hope you will spend the next few days thinking about it, and you will do it. And if you are here this morning and today is the day you feel compelled to take a first step, then my challenge to you is trust Jesus and let him prove his goodness and faithfulness to you, because he will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we stand just a couple of days before Christmas and a celebration which we will partake in our homes with our families and with our friends, Lord God, there's lots of things that can lead us away, that can keep us occupied, and we are forgetful, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you today for the reminder of who you are and what you've done for us, and that you invite us as Christians to celebrate with eyes wide open, that in the midst of this world, even though we do have struggles, that we can put our trust in you, and that you meet us wherever we are. You take our hand and you lead us forward. Lord God, my prayer, if there is anyone here today who has had a sense of their need to take a first step with you, that even here in this moment, that they would just pray in their heart, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are real. I believe that you came to find me. I believe that in your death and resurrection, you forgave my sin. And I want you to lead me and to give me new life. And Lord Jesus, if those words are ones they prayed in their heart, that today you will give them your Holy Spirit, you will break the chains of sin and death in their life, and they can begin anew with you. God, would you help us to be people of faith so that we might see your goodness and your love and your faithfulness. Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us. May that which has value take root, and that which does not burn away. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.